City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast. This is show number 134. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hello.
Hi, Peter. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been a
life bit. is big and full, and it's summertime, yeah. summertime.
I had a huge weekend. How about you?
Well, we had that huge storm, and then, yeah, you know, we had the perfect storm if you are in Chicago. Like, literally, I wanted to be Diane Lane in my flannel shirt with George Clooney and a little wool cap and holding on to the tree. Because we had this enormous storm, and then we headed into this weekend that was, you know, I tried to go and hang out at Hollywood Beach, and all the cute lifeguards were like literally covered to their ankles, to their wrists, and to their neck. And I'm lying out there in a bikini, and I'm kind of feeling like, is there so much, you know, disease that it's got stirred up in our lake? Because they wouldn't lay by in the lake.
Oh, so they were out there in like bodysuits?
Well, they were just kind of like in their, I don't know. They just looked really covered up. Their windbreakers, and it was not a hot, hot day, but it was enough day. The sun was out, and I was like, maybe they know something I don't know. But getting the cooties to E. coli. I don't know what. I get to itchy coos. But you know, I am. This is when the gay man and the vitamin D comes out in me. Like, right. I want the fix. I want to go be in the sun for a little while.
You got some too. I can see.
I did. I'm getting some
taupe.
Tan lines. I'm getting
your
some taupe. Tan lines. But because I'm trying to just stay positive and be, oh, thank you for this beautiful day of sunshine, because mm-hmm. I just know that we don't live in a place where we get to enjoy that mm-hmm. every day of the year.
You got to go stand in a little capsule for 10 minutes. And
no, that's not the same thing. I got to hear the wind. I got to be on sand. It's got to be a bit gritty. I got to get a bit of an exfoliation.
We can throw some sand in the bottom.
I love to see the random guy in the thong on Hollywood Beach, you know, who's just so confident.
You can only see the thong from the front because it disappears in the back.
It's just, you know, that kind of confidence level. And it's never people who you think have the body that they should have that kind of confidence level. It's mm-hmm. really the person that you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? You looked at bathing suits and that's what you came up
right.
with.
Well, I mean, I always think, because it's usually an older gentleman or two, and you know, much love to the older folks who are out there on the beach in there in a piece of string and a piece of tissue.
Yeah, but it's like, that's all it is.
You know, I had a parallel because I was going through the swim trunks that I had.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, for, you know how they used to have that old commercial with the woman trying to get in her Levi's jeans?
Yeah.
I fought with those fucking swim trunks for 20 minutes. I was like, my thighs are not that big. And they're muscular big. It's the bike ride.
I was about to say, your bike ride, your ass is getting cuter and cuter.
I've gained a shitload of weight, but it's like, I really tried. So I think
You're not 16 anymore, and I know you. You probably have your trunks from when you were 16.
I was 100 pounds. I'm now like 170. So there you go. There's almost a person on top of me. But I think it's that mentality that, well, if it fits, I can wear it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what it looks like. It's just like, oh, this still fits, so let me wear this out. As opposed, you know, and if it's a piece of string and a tissue, obviously it'll still fit.
I can't even wear thong underwear. And, you know, I just, oh my God.
They make me horny.
Oh, they don't make me horny. They make me so uncomfortable.
Really?
And women who wear them and love them, which are usually my straight girlfriends, are like, mm-hmm. oh, they're so great. They're so great. And I'm like, oh, it just feels like chafing and like I need to.
No, it's always kind of knocking on the back door, which is kind of why I'm like, oh, I can't wear these in public.
No.
It's dirty. I'd rather go without. I'd rather be freeballing than have to wear.
Okay.
All
Flying
right.
commando.
So how was your glorious event?
Wow.
Tell me about it.
Monday night, I'll set the scene. Like Monday, you know, we'd had only about 5 hours total with our accompanist. This was a benefit night called Flip Flop, where all these singers, cabaret artists, and musical theater artists, many Jeff Award nominations and awards, and people from Wicked and Color Purple and Spelling Bee, you know, we're all coming together to sing songs in the opposite gender from Broadway musicals to raise money for the About Face Youth Theater at Sidetrack. That's basically the evening.
That's the title of Alex Billings' like memoir, Songs in the Opposite Gender.
There exactly. That's what Honey West was like. They told me to pick a gender. Right. I don't know. But, you know, it was... you know, Sidetrack's just such a great place to do an event. If you've never been there, please stop in Sidetrack when you're coming through town. We were in the Glass Bar, much like Idol. You know, staff, just amazing. But we didn't sell any tickets in advance. So I felt a little filled of dreams. Like I just kind of had to give it over that day. Like nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to come. And my girlfriend had even thrown her neck out. And like five or six people that had told me they were coming all told me they weren't coming. And, you know, a couple of our people from Windy City got sick. And just, you know, I was like, nobody's going to come. Like I'm the PR machine. I am the PR machine. And if I have like four people come, it's going to be an okay night. If I have 14 people coming, like I know it's going to be good. Right. I had nobody coming, not even my girlfriend. I was like, nobody's gonna come. The doors opened and it just was like just a flood of people. We were as crowded as Idol. We were packed.
Yay.
It was a magical night. Yay. Every singer just talked about how amazing it was. The feedback was just phenomenal. Some really amazing moments, like Paul Stovall doing the entire fight scene from Dreamgirls. Like he, you know, he had three microphones and he did Curtis and Effie and Dina. And then he even kind of like squatted down and pulled the mic out and did Laurel because she's had like two lines or whatever. He did the whole thing leading up to like Steven Rader coming out and doing Effie. You know, we had, Steven Rader's big number was he did Ursula the Sea Witch from The Little Mermaid, did the whole scene.
Unfortunate souls.
And did the whole scene before about I Want Your Voice. You know, and
sing.
And Kate Fry, who's just like the classiest Chicago actress, you know, many people may know that she did the big My Fair Lady with a grand piano and won the Jeff Award for playing Liza Doolittle. And you know, she did a wonderful Noel Coward Patter song. We had the adorable Joseph Medeiros, who's in the cast of Wicked, who was a child performer since the age of six, did Tomorrow and started in a really respectable. You thought the song was going to be from Annie. Right. You thought he was going to take a new take on it. And then the song kept modulating and modulating and modulating and going higher and higher and higher. And everyone in the bar was just clapping and clapping and clapping. And by the end, he was belting it in Andrea McArdle's original key.
Whoa.
And it just brought down the house. And, you know, it was just a night full of... people getting to do songs and tell their stories as to why they were doing it. I mean, Amy Armstrong doing Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors. And, you know, it was just such a fun night. And I just felt like it was just a gift to be in the room with all of those people all doing our thing at the same time.
Yep.
You know, and I can just say Chicago is just blessed with some amazing performers who don't have egos, who show up, who support their community. And, you know, I just could not thank them enough. It was a huge night and, really raised awareness for the youth theater and raised money. And it was just, it was amazing. So we all said, let's do it again next year. So I have a feeling it is, going to get done again. And, I know people are buzzing about it. So it was huge, huge success. And I think everybody who came, and if you didn't come, you are going to want to come next year. And I don't know where we're going to put you if everybody came from last year.
Hang you from the ceiling.
Seriously. It was just, I looked around at one point and I was like, who are these people? You know, it was an amazing crowd that just had so much fun and sang along and would clap with glee when they knew the song. And, You know, so it was just a really, really, really special night. So, yeah, so it was a great way to kick off the week, I have to say. Just so much fun.
Good start to it.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune to, it was Saturday night, and I had made a peach cobbler, and I was planning on sitting home with my peach cobbler and watching some TV. Because, you know, I don't usually go out on Saturday nights.
No, I know you don't.
It's kind of...
amateur night.
Right. I'll hang out with my friends or something, but I don't like going out to the bars. Well, I got a call at about 10 o'clock at night.
Never say never.
It was Mike Jacoby called.
Yeah.
He was in town with Ivy and Dot Wine, and they all wanted to hang out. So they wanted to go somewhere for dinner. So we went to Firefly and closed it down.
Oh, nice.
And just were drinking martinis. And it was so... it was so magical to sit with someone who's been in the life for so many years and have such insight on our community. I kept pinching myself under the table that I was so blessed just to be able to talk with this woman, because I thought it was going to, and to talk with Dot and to talk with Mike, who've all shared this experience of the elder community and really involved themselves in it. Dot works, she's been known Ivy for quite a long time, and they've worked together, and she was kind of there to help Ivy out because she has a little bit of trouble walking and seeing.
Yeah. So she just turned 83.
81 or 82, I think. 81 or 82. But it was just...
And the film was a success?
The film... Well, we're getting there. Okay. So that was Saturday. So I was blessed. I was thinking, I wasn't supposed to meet these people until tomorrow.
Right.
So here we have all this intimate time. We have this time to make memories together. We have this time to chat and to really get to know each other. So that by the time we got to the film the next day, it was even more magical to see them on the way in and to chat with them. And Serena actually... Serena Worthington, the program director of the SAGE group, the Services for Aging GLBT Individuals, she asked me to present Ivy. So I wrote a quick bio for Ivy. And then we had this wonderful... The film was magical.
Mm.
It's not a happy film. And in fact, it's a really, really sad and disgusting film when you think about what it's talking about and what's going on in our community. Our people who are aging have huge problems. And I know we did the last two interviews on this, and I know you guys out there listening are probably sick and fucking tired of me listening to it. But you know what? You're going to get old. You're going to get old, and you're not going to have services available to you if you don't get off your butts and do something right now. It is so important to involve... There are so many things that came to pass just in the last 2 years relating to our community. We were completely written out of the aging forum that they have every 10 years, the one that Reagan started, I believe. They talk about aging every 10 years. They have this conference. We were completely taken out of it. So we're looking at 8 years of lack of services and things like that for our elders. So we really have to get off our butts right now and do something about it. It's so important to get involved, and not just get involved by learning and not just get involved by talking, but get involved by finding out in your community what the hell is going on with the aging people in our queer community.
Yeah.
Because according to statistics, 50% of people that work and that handle people coming in to nursing homes, number one, won't accept a GLBT individual. And number two, don't know how to deal with a GLBT individual.
Hmm.
This is terrifying. It's terrifying that you have to go back in the closet when you get older.
Yeah.
The life you're living today will not be the life that you're living when you're 60.
And do people not think that do you think that the apathy is that people think times are changing and they're changing? So now those healthcare workers 10 years from now, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years now, are going to continue as we see Fortune 500s coming. You know, is this a government thing? Is this a city thing? Is this a local thing? Is this...
Well, I can't speak for...
Or is it a corporate thing? Because these are all run by corporations. So do we need to be involved with the corporate side of...
Well, you've boiled everything you've suggested, and everything you've boils down to money, right? Money is the factor. What is the most common myth about our community?
Right, is that we have money.
Because we don't have children.
Right.
And
we have no children who won't take care of us.
Exactly. You hit it exactly on the head. So this is the myth that we have to bust wide open. We are not better off than other people. We are not more privileged than other people. And I don't know how many gay men I've seen saying, oh, I'll be fine when I'm old. I'll have money. Well, honey, do you have money now? Are you starting your 401k? Are you doing what you need to do to save for the future? Most people are not. So Mike's film touches on so much of this that it's a really shocking look at our community, and it's really sad to see people who have not number one, had the money, or two, had the thought to create their will, their living testament, and have everything ripped right out from underneath them.
Wow.
Not to mention the trans community, because there's a wonderful, wonderful character in there who just, she's so real about what's going on, but yet she knows the fate. So it was such a magical weekend. And then after the film, we had a wonderful group discussion. There were about 60 people there. It was an amazing turnout. It's a wonderful center. We took tours of the center on Halsted. It was great. And then I actually had the chance to have dinner with them again at night and really share their history and what's going on. And if this past weekend did anything for me, it really just lit so many fires that maybe there was a match lit and now there's a huge bonfire inside.
Well, I know
of
this has always been something that you've been very passionate about, and I really am attracted to your passion for it. And I think that, how can people find out? I mean, obviously Sage is involved with the Center on Halsted, but are there national sites for GLBT elderly people in our community? And where can people see this film? I know it just came to Chicago, but is it going to be accessible for other people? Is there an attempt to have it air on television, or what are the thoughts there?
Well, the screenings are still being scheduled as they come. There's a new website. It's 10 More Good Years, the number 10 More Good Years. And I believe it's a .com. And the screenings are still going to go, and hopefully the film will hit the circuit of film festivals and things like that to at least raise consciousness about it. But absolutely not. There is not a national agency. This is a problem.
Mm.
This is a big problem, because this is one of those things, like AIDS when it started, that we're going to have to do ourselves. We have to do this from the grassroots. SAGE is founded in the grassroots. Right now, what's going on at the center on, not at the center on Halsted, at the center on Halsted thing, and this is another myth I learned to debunk, a representative from Howard Brown was there.
Mm-hmm.
She is, I forgot her name. I don't have her business card. I think her name is Carrie. I don't know. I don't think so, though. at Howard Brown, they're starting this wonderful alliance between Rush Presbyterian and so many of the big players for healthcare services. So Center on Halsted is focusing on sort of
community
and creating this community. And Howard Brown is starting to step up their game and take an active for health services. So the Center on Halsted is working with Howard Brown.
Gotcha.
I know so many people are saying they're against each other, and it's just not true at all. There's no animosity between the two groups.
They're doing conjoining things.
They really are, especially in this case. But like you just said, like I just mentioned, there is no national governing place for this. So we have to start it. We have to keep supporting our communities. If there is a queer center or there is a queer hotline in your community, you need to call them and you need to find out what's going on, because these people need help too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need services. They need people to hang out with.
This is once again about ways for us as we mentor our youth to also have an eye out for our elders and,
absolutely.
And, get to know those kind of people. I think we think the youth are beneath us, and we think the elders are frightening because it's something of like where we're heading
and we're ignorant to it because we never had young people to talk with and we never had elders to go to.
Right.
So we don't even know
right
how we're supposed to be interacting with
these
people.
We're disenfranchised from these two aspects
absolutely
of our community.
And there's such a huge part, and we all were there and we all are going there. So.
Right. Well, and it's a huge topic that we will continue.
No,
to
I'm
have,
not going to shut up about this
no,
one.
No, it's a good one for us to be loud and out about. And so more on this, and I'm so glad it was a good, and everybody go to that 10 more good years.
I'll put the link in the show notes as well.
Awesome. That'll be perfect.
And speaking of links, though, talking about the internets and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things, because you can go, it was so funny. You said, well, is there a website you can go to? And I think the internet is such a place that our community has always
really
gone to
utilized
for information.
Absolutely. And one of the things that that I'm looking at doing in the fall season is car shopping. And I really do try to be very mindful of, what are the companies that are supportive of GLBT employees and benefits and our causes. And there's a wonderful site that's put together by Joe Maraglia. Joe LaMaraglia, and he is with GayWheels.com. And GayWheels.com is a site that he founded that really just helps you decipher all this information. Mm-hmm. They only promote these companies that they feel like are supporting us and backing us. And
And they do the research. That's important.
And they do the research.
He actively seeks out these companies and finds out what their domestic partnership benefits are, what their policies are in same-sex partnerships, and how they deal with people in general.
Well, because besides homes, cars are probably the next big expense that people buy. And so that's an important decision as to where you're going to invest those dollars and what companies, and also just what cars are cool, what cars are we driving, what is the trend in the community. So we're going to have Joe on. Joe La Maraglia and from gaywheels.com, and we're going to have that linked as well. So stay with us. We've got news and much, much more after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of us, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you don skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round.
Practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser.
Oh.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skate.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Clearcast News.
The Presbyterian Church has ruled against Reverend Jane Adams Spar for officiating the wedding ceremonies of two lesbian couples, reversing a previous ruling. The Synod of the Pacific Permanent Judicial Commission decided that, quote, although the Reverend Dr. Spar had acted with conscience and conviction, her actions were contrary to the Presbyterian Church USA Constitution as it is authoritatively interpreted.
After fighting for 2 years, California resident Marvin Burroughs has won the right to collect his late partner's benefits. Burroughs' partner, William Sweener, was a member of the Industrial Employers and Distributors Association. After he passed away, Burroughs filed a claim to receive his benefits, but his request was turned down twice. Burroughs and Sweener were together for over 50 years.
Susan Stanton, who served as city manager of Largo, Florida, as Steve Stanton, has reportedly applied for the same position in Tempe, Arizona. Steve Stanton was let go in Largo after announcing plans to undergo sex reassignment surgery.
In Pennsylvania, a prostitution sting has resulted in the arrest of a local policeman. Levi Gibbon Jr., a part-time officer with Newport Township, was arrested after he talked about sex acts and fees with an undercover officer. Gibbon eventually settled for $200. Gibbon admitted in a written statement that he was an escort and expected to be paid for performing sexual acts.
The Florida Department of Law Enforcement has said that its investigation of former U.S. Representative Mark Foley's online messages with teenage boys has hit a snag. Mm. Department spokeswoman Heather Smith has said that neither Foley nor the House will let investigators examine his congressional computers because they contain government documents.
Equality Forum has announced that 92.6% of the 2007 Fortune 500 companies, that's 463 of them, include sexual orientation in their employment non-discrimination policies. Woohoo! That finding stands in stark contrast to federal and state laws, where only 20 states have sexual orientation as a protected category in the workplace.
In Ohio, a judge expressed that conservative state legislator Tom Brinkman Jr. got away with changing an anti-gay petition earlier this year. While sentencing two petitioners to probation and community service for putting false signatures on a petition to repeal anti-discrimination statutes, Judge Robert Ruhlman said that, quote, I think the real culprit is Representative Brinkman, who was paid $40,000 to oversee the signature drive.
Leona Helmsley, dubbed the Queen of Mean, has passed away at the age of 87. She ran a real estate empire valued at $5 billion, was convicted in 89 for evading taxes, and recently a gay former employee was awarded $11 million after she fired him based on his sexual orientation.
Public nudity will soon be allowed in Brattleboro, Vermont. Brattleboro, Vermont. A month after a temporary ban, the city's board voted 3-2 to reject the permanent one, and the temporary ordinance will expire in September. So take off your trunks.
They just couldn't stand having their clothes on for an entire month. Mm-hmm. It was awful. Openly gay singer Darren Hayes, the former lead singer for Savage Garden, is being investigated by authorities after allegedly making a racist remark at a waiter in a London Thai restaurant. In the United Kingdom, hate speech is a crime. Through an attorney, Hayes has denied uttering a racial slur.
Ellen DeGeneres will host a variety show for TBS in Las Vegas in November. The two-hour special will be filmed during the HBO Comedy Festival and will air November 18th.
The debut of High School Musical 2 on the Disney Channel set a record. Did you watch this?
No.
I did not either. The August 17th premiere was seen by an estimated 17.2 million people, making it the most watched basic cable program ever.
The way I would watch it?
By children under the age of 18,
probably,
I guess.
Against the law, the way I would want to watch it. The cast of Survivor China has been revealed, and one of the contestants is 22-year-old gay Mormon flight attendant Todd Herzog. Herzog is actually the second gay Mormon to compete on the show, following Survivor Guatemala's Rafe Judkins.
Doesn't Todd Herzog sound Jewish as opposed to Mormon?
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
GayWheels.com has just compiled its top 10 most researched vehicles for the second quarter of 2007, and I happen to be in the market for a new car. You know, I'm a longtime driver. My car is 11 years old.
And it's gigantic.
It's gigantic. But GayWheels.com is the site with all kinds of information if you're a GLBT consumer or GLBT ally. Mm-hmm. Check out this site when you're looking about what you're driving or what you should be driving and what companies are looking out for you. We are so proud to have with us the founder of GayWheels.com, Joe Lermalia. And Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Trying to stay cool down here in Nash Vegas, Tennessee.
Oh, I'm a Tennessean, Joe. You don't know that about me. I'm actually a Tennessean, so I love
here
the Nash
go.
Vegas. We've got more to talk about. Tennessee and cars.
Absolutely. Well, I'll talk your ear off on cars any day of the week.
So tell me, what was the inception of GayWheels.com, and what is the site's purpose?
Well, the story about how I got started is a little long. I'll try to make it as short as possible. But I was fighting for domestic partner benefits at my last employer. And when I was doing that, I had to put a business case together to convince them to offer domestic partner benefits at my last employer. It's because they, you know, the argument of, oh, it's the right thing to do, didn't flush. It was, we needed to show them how they could make more money by treating their GLBT employees equally.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing that, I always had the idea for GayWheels.com in my head. I never knew exactly what it was going to be, but it all gelled together. You know, there was an untapped need out there. And what GayWheels.com, in the geeky sense, is that we facilitate commerce with gay-friendly companies throughout the entire automotive purchase process. So translation is we help the gay GLBT consumer find out which companies are gay-friendly. They're never going to be inundated with ads by non-gay-friendly companies because our policies only accept advertising from companies that treat their GLBT employees equally.
What makes a company gay-friendly?
They offer domestic partner benefits to all of their U.S.-based employees. That's a very fundamental You know, we just drew a line in the sand and said that's the absolute minimum they have to do to get on our gay-friendly list.
So,
when you think about a company, you know, a company like GM that employs thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the U.S., mm. when they make a change like that, a little policy change, it really has a huge effect.
Well, and I think that's the important thing about policies like that is that they're becoming visible. So what do you call, pick up the phone and say, what do you think of gays, GM? Tell us. Or how does that research process happen? Because it sounds like it could be sort of tricky.
It sounds like your company is gay male, right? GM.
It could be tricky waters to navigate.
You know, that's why I'm very, very absolute about how I decide a company is gay friendly or not. It's based on their policies. Now, you know, you can have a massive company like GM or Toyota or Chrysler or even companies like Subaru, and they could have policies in place, and there could be a total homophobe at the helm.
Mm.
So generally, if the policy is in place, the GLBT employee actually has the fundamental basics. They're protected. They can have health insurance. They can, you know, everything almost equal to their straight counterpart. Now, I've been very careful to contact all the HR departments and have it in writing and backup information on the companies on my list are very much gay friendly.
So
their HR departments will send me an email and say, yes, we have those policies. Or, you know, in GM's case, for example, I'm very close with their employee resource group.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Toyota, they have a GLBT employee resource group. So they work with me to help, we all help each other out. Being the only guy doing this in the industry, I kind of am in an interesting situation where I know lots of people at a lot of different companies.
Fantastic position for you to be in. Find the need and make it happen, my friend. Good stuff.
Absolutely. And we've done some really cool stuff where we're helping companies change policies. Two companies, four brands, if you will, have changed since we started GayWheels.com. That's Nissan and Infiniti, Mini and Rolls-Royce. And in early 2008, BMW will be on our gay-friendly list.
Oh,
yay! Look at that.
That's a wonderful thing.
What do you think is the biggest concern for a GLBT consumer when looking at purchasing a car? Are you able to get that kind of feedback and familiarize yourself what you hear from the companies?
Well, you know, from the GLBT consumer, what I think a lot of people forget is that, yes, statistically, we have a lot of extra money. You know, we tend to buy on style and fashion, you know, stereotypically, but I think ultimately the bottom line is based on your fundamental needs. You know, if you are single, you know, a single lesbian in West Hollywood, you don't need a massive SUV or a minivan. You want something that's smaller, easier to park, and, you know, carry two or three of your friends. So it really always boils down to needs. What makes us different and the GayWheels.com consumer different is that my user takes the corporate policies into consideration before they start looking at vehicles. So this top 10 most researched list literally is we look, it's kind of like a little, you know, we're spying on what people are looking at on the site. We go to the server logs. And one of the biggest thing is, number one, every single vehicle on the top 10 list is from a gay-friendly brand.
Nice.
Well, that shows really that people are brand loyal or kind of know where their dollars are going, which is something that is coming out more and more and more about how gay dollars are spent, that there is a real concern for brand
purchasing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the top 10 list on KellyBlueBook.com or Edmunds.com, they're going to be very different vehicles. Number one, Honda is all over those lists, and you don't see Honda anywhere on mine because Honda is not a gay-friendly company.
So tell me, who are these? Who are the companies? Let's go there before we go to the cars. Who are the companies that you promote on GayWheels.com?
Well, I don't promote.
Or that.
I mean, what I do is I inform.
Right.
And it's actually easier. The shorter list is the company. Thank God. Or the shorter list is the non-gay-friendly companies.
Well, tell me those. So, you know,
yeah, so we'll go that one. You know, you're talking Honda and Acura. That's their luxury brand. Honda and Acura are not gay-friendly. Kia, Hyundai are not gay-friendly. BMW as a brand right now is not, but once they change their policies, as long as they go through with that in December or January 2008, they'll change over. And then Suzuki. None of those brands are confirmed non-gay friendly. Now, there are some other brands that I can't get an answer out of them. And, you know, companies like Porsche and Maserati, they just won't, you know, they would just won't answer me. So I have them on an under investigation list.
So
Porsche, Maserati, Lotus, Panos, Lamborghini, and Ferrari.
Percentage.
So those are the ones I can't get, and I'm not going to put them on the non-gay friendly list because they just simply won't answer me.
Right. Percentage wise, what is that? What is that list then? Is it like what, 60-40, 70-30? What? Give us a rough idea.
Probably about, you know, weighted to the volume, or just I think it's probably about 80% of the manufacturers, and that's just me pulling off the top of my head, are gay friendly.
That's awesome. That's an awesome.
In the way we classify them as gay friendly.
Do you think there are top companies that are pioneering that not only just have the minimal requirement that you make of domestic partner benefits, but also have other programs in place and other ways that would make a GLBT consumer go, that is a company I really want to invest my dollars in because they're putting the money back into the community or into their employees?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, everybody always starts with Subaru, and Subaru is was groundbreaking and consistent. They weren't the first to advertise to the gay community, by the way, but they have been the most consistent.
Would Ford be the first?
Wasn't that VW?
No, actually, Saab.
Oh, Saab.
Oh, Saab
was the first brand.
Oh, trying to remember the Ellen commercial.
I know. I'm trying to remember too because I made my first the way I've been in radio almost 10 years, coming up here in about, I don't know, nine months, and how
you
I got
started when you were nine.
Right? I started when I was nine, and I was a small child. No, the first ad I ever did was a same sex Ford commercial, and it was the first time I'd ever heard anything like that. And it was a big local dealer here in Chicago. So I always thought that Ford, you know, at least in Chicago, were very pioneering.
Yeah, another thing is the dealers and the manufacturers are two totally separate companies.
Sure.
Mm.
So the dealer probably was very proactive and you know, groundbreaking. So
yeah.
Most of the brand, a lot of the brands have dabbled in it over the years.
Yeah.
Subarus have been the most consistent. But if you say, you ask, you know, people always say, okay, well, great, we've got a lot of that are gay-friendly. How can you add, which ones are more to your question? And I always point to, if you take into consideration, okay, add the check mark, meaning they advertise to the community, and they so that means they're spending money with the exterior community, but also spending money internally on employee resource groups.
Yeah.
And two major manufacturers pop up, and that's General Motors and all of their brands, and Toyota. Those two do very well in those regards. They advertise to the GLBT community, and you know, Cadillac with GM. Actually, I have a bunch of GM stuff running on the site right now. But Cadillac has done some same-sex, you know, couples in their advertising, and Toyota Scion has done a lot of advertising in the GLBT press. But also, they have very strong employee resource groups within the company. Now, someone might make the argument that they're both really big companies and they can afford to do that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I've met employees from both of those companies that are very involved and meet with senior government, senior management, and help them, you know, help them through marketing and working and why the GLBT community is so important. So that I came away very impressed with both of those companies. And you know, I know Chrysler has an employee resource group. I'm, you know, Ford used to, but with the stuff that's going on there, I don't know anymore. It's hard to get any answers out of them.
How long has GayWheels.com been, how long have you been actively pursuing all this research?
Well, the research, I mean, the site launched 2 years ago on June 15th. We actually marched in LA Gay Pride because I was living out there when I launched it. And, you know, the research, you could argue, I've been doing it for over 4.5 years.
Because
you know, I was doing it to help my old employer get domestic partner benefits, and then I just kept doing it with Gay Wheels, and now you know we're always looking at stuff. We're always working with different manufacturers and groups to help, you know, raise the awareness of what the GLBT consumer is doing in this very large segment of the U.S. business economy.
Yeah.
And that's the automotive industry. It's huge. And I think people don't understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's bleeding over everywhere because I work in the corporate banking sector, and to see how much diversity initiatives have moved up the budget scale compared to where they were 5 years ago is just, it's breathtaking and it's awesome. I get this little squeal of glee every time I see another diversity initiative. I'm like, yay, that's my people. Yay. It's really amazing
great
stuff.
And you know, there are people, it's people like HRC, and it's people like the Commercial Closet, the guy from Commercial Closet, and it's people,
Michael,
you know,
yeah.
Like, you know what, there's an automotive writer named Steve Seiler that had been doing this for 12 years, and, you know, I give him a lot of credit, because if he hadn't have been out there, it would have been harder for me to do what I'm doing. And, you know, John Nash at Subaru for doing 12 years of really awesome advertising in the GLBT media. He's their Moon City Productions is their ad shop out of New York.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people that have been paving the way, and thank God, you know, like I keep saying there, things are starting to explode, and it's great. You know, I'm going to Detroit tomorrow. I'm meeting with Chrysler. I'm meeting with GM. I'm meeting with a lot of these people because I want to know how they can tap into this market.
Well, tell me, what are the top 10 most researched vehicles? What are the hot cars that people in our community are really looking at and interested in?
Sure. Well, the number one, and one of, before I say this, I always talk about how this list both supports and dispels myths or stereotypes about the GLBT consumer. Everybody always expects, you know, expensive luxury cars and convertibles to be on top. On this list, well, the number one car is a Toyota Yaris. It's a sub $15,000 compact, and people don't believe me, but it's by far the number one research car on the site.
One of our contributors, Jerry Potter, just bought one like 3 weeks ago, so he just bought himself a little Yaris.
Did you live in the city, or you?
He does. He's a trend setter. Let me tell you that, Jerry Potter. I am. I can't tell you because he gives our you know, kind of what's happening of the week, the hot things, the hot tips.
Great.
So he's already ahead of the curve. Look at that.
It's a cute little car. Gets great gas mileage. Legendary Toyota quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who can argue with that? The number two car is the Saab 9-3. Which is, you know, it's, we don't break out the sedan and convertible, but my gut's telling me most people are looking at a convertible. That's just kind of the anti BMW 3 Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great car. It's a little bit different, not cheap, but a lot of fun to drive. Very safe, and this is a convertible, seats four, and you know, you can. It's a great parade car.
It's a great parade car. Always an essential for a gang.
Yay.
Absolutely, you got to, you know, you have to practice that wave somewhere. Number three is the Mazda MX-5, or aka the Miata. Now, I have to say, I'm a car geek. My boyfriend's a car geek. He owns a Miata, and bottom line, they're just fun as hell to drive. They just are. If they put a smile on your face, you get in there, you drop the top, and you just can't help but smiling and having a blast. They really are excellent road cars, but they've gotten, you know, the stigma of being the gay car. Well, again, good-looking, fun to drive. Affordable, great gas mileage, and reliable. You know, we like our style, but we like our pocketbooks too. You know, we're not going to throw money at stuff that's not going to, you know, stand behind us. Volkswagen Jetta, which interestingly everybody says is a gay car. I never really associated the Jetta as being a, you know, quote unquote gay car, but it's very popular on our site. Actually, Volkswagen as a brand is really popular on our site. But good looking car, affordable, seats four, a lot of fun to drive. I think if your notice fun to drive is pretty high up on these all the cars.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see a lot of the little bugs. What are they called? The little Volkswagen bugs.
The VW Beetle.
Beetle.
Oh, the Beetle. Yeah, those are real popular.
That was
right
on our list, but it's not now. The next Volkswagen is the Eos. Have you guys heard of the Eos?
Mm. No.
Well, it's the god of Eos is the god of sun, I believe. And the VW Deuce is their new convertible, but it's a hardtop convertible.
Mm.
It's great for people who live in cities. So you can park it on the street, hit the button, and the top retracts up, and it's a hardtop. So no one can cut into your top.
Nice.
It also has a built-in sunroof, so if you don't want to put the top all the way down, you just want to open it up a little bit, you can open up the hardtop. It starts at under $30,000. It's a lot of fun to drive, and it's quickly becoming very popular in our community that I've seen.
And it's super cute.
I want to see.
I just looked up a picture of it. It's super cute. God love Google.
See, I'm looking for cars, so this is exciting. All right.
I could actually.
Well, I used to have a Volkswagen Cabriolet many years ago, convertible. That was my first car.
Oh,
that was my first car.
A lot of fun, really good looking. And, you know, it has the safety and security of a hardtop, but also the versatility. And we all know we love versatility. Of a convertible. Hey, you told me I could get a little candy.
Oh, you come can on. Get dirtier than that.
All right. I can crank it up a little bit. The number six car is the Dodge Caliber. And a lot of people, this is the biggest head scratcher on the list, I think. Mm-hmm. But again, at the end of the day, we live in what, 99% of all the counties in the U.S. And a lot of people like American products in the Midwest and all over the place. On the coast, not so much, but the Dodge Caliber is a cool-looking four-door, kind of a hatchback. It's very versatile and gets good gas mileage. Has some cool features like these speakers that pop down, so when you're out having a picnic or you're at the beach, you lift the hatchback and the speakers pop down and you can have a little concert.
See, we love our music. That's portable. Probably the
We do. It doesn't come with the disco ball, but I'm sure if you bring one, you can set up the little party.
$35,000 boom box.
There
That's
you
lovely.
Go.
Then we have the Toyota Camry. And now, you can't get more bland than the Toyota Camry.
That's my mom's car, the Toyota Camry. Come on.
It's the number one selling car, four-door sedan in the country. It had to show up somewhere.
Had to show up in the top 10.
Yep.
It's a good, solid car. If you don't really like to drive or enjoy driving, you can't go wrong with a Camry. It's an appliance on wheels that will never let you down. And, you know.
It's a good road trip car.
Is it?
Somebody's.
Yeah. I like my mom's.
It's a good road trip car because when I've rented cars to go on road trips, the Camry's always a good one. It's comfortable inside. The trunk is huge.
Yeah,
you can put five bodies in there if you need to. And it's just, it's lovely for
Peter
driving.
Peter usually does need to, so.
Well, I like to drive in the desert, so there you go.
He has some spares.
But it's,
and,
I mean,
it comes with all the creature comforts and then some. You can load it up and make it look just like a little mini Lexus. And it's a great car, but it's not, it's not something if you're out to put a big smile on your face and you know, when you love driving. But there are a lot of people that don't really care about fun to drive. They just want something that's comfortable and affordable.
Good.
If you need to transport the iron cross or the harness or the big, you know, sling, there you go. Pop it in the Camry trunk and there's lots of room. Plus, you can bring extra men with you. So
that's right.
It's good.
Absolutely. Just stuff them in the trunk.
I'm going to take you there. I'm going to take you there.
I love it back there.
Absolutely.
Oh, Joe, he's taking you down the wrong road. What's number eight?
Isn't he, though? Let's go to number eight, Audi A3, which I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's Audi's entry-level car, and it's absolutely a blast. It's very similar to the Volkswagen Rabbit. It's a similar chassis, but with a lot of extras. And it is a four-door hatch, so it's very, very versatile. Hatchbacks are awesome. I'm a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about room. You can, you know, fold down the seats and throw all kind. Go to Home Depot and fill it up and have a blast on the weekend. So
and move all your
drive,
friends.
You and all your friends, absolutely. Yeah. Great to drive. Really amazing interior quality. Beautiful. A little pricey, but you can get it in front-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. So it's suitable to a lot of different tastes. Number nine is the Volkswagen Rabbit. Which is another hatchback. This is a great-looking car, really fun to drive, and you can get them for under $17,000 if they start. So it's it was called the Golf. Now they changed names to the Rabbit, which it was called the Rabbit way back when. So they're playing games with the names. But another great car if you're in the market for city cars, especially not you know, easy to park, great gas mileage, a couple different engine options, and you know they're cute.
Yeah.
Last but not least is the newcomer to the list, and that's the Infiniti FX. Have you guys ever seen one of those?
No, I have not.
Yes.
It is the Infiniti FX 35 or 45, and it is basically its code name, and I know this because I used to work there. Its code name was the Bionic Cheetah.
The Bionic Cheetah? I want to see a picture.
This
well,
is
you got to look at the picture. It's a very curvaceous, very muscular. It looks like a flexed muscle on four wheels.
Yeah, this is the I'm going to steal your boyfriend.
The idea behind the car is if you you really like to drive and you love sports cars, but you need that room and you didn't want to give up the sports car experience, they created this segment, and it's the sport SUV. BMW, some people argue the BMW X5 created it, but it, I think, is one of those vehicles that has just kind of gone on underneath the radar. If you're in the market for a luxury SUV, you get it with all-wheel drive, and you really like to drive and love a really hot exhaust note, you should definitely check out the Infiniti FX.
I like that. That's all the things I want, or I think I want.
Yeah, but you've seen this. Now she's looking at the picture.
I'm looking
you've
at the picture,
it.
And I have seen it.
It's
but I've
between
never
a bug
Infiniti.
And a Camry, and it's like bigger in the caboose. And yeah,
but it's an SUV.
No.
Oh, it's not an SUV.
No, it's kind of
no,
in the middle.
Well,
it's in the middle.
It's they call it a crossover. It's based on the same platform as the Nissan 350Z and the Infiniti G35.
Okay.
It's got the same engine. but it is, has more of a hatchback SUV-ish body. So really, my partner drives one, and we go to Home Depot, we go to Target,
yeah.
It's amazing what you can get in this thing, but man, when you want to open it up on the highway, it's awesome.
So I'm surprised there aren't more SUVs. Do you think that that's either based on, you know, where you get your respondents from, or do you think that's based on
gas,
or what do you think?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. You know, this is just a snapshot at what people are, the top 10 vehicles that people are looking at. And I think it probably has something to do with gas prices. And a lot of people who buy SUVs buy them because of the children.
Yeah.
And they need to schlep kids around. And you know, yes, there are people, you know, gay couples that have kids, but statistically, very few of us do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, although those of us who live in Chicago, we have SUVs because we brave a winter on some level for nine months out of the years.
She's trying to justify her SUV.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the thing. I'm interested as well as to what you are seeing, or if you are seeing already, because I'm sure, you know, you'll start putting together statistics. And this quarter kind of leads us into the summer. The next quarter will lead us into fall, winter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you seeing much more of a trend with hybrids now? Because it's definitely something that I've been looking into. And when you're looking at hybrids, it kind of gears you toward a few manufacturers, who are really innovative, you know, in that technology. And are you seeing that GLBT people are interested in hybrid technology?
I've seen a study that said that we're more likely to be driving hybrids, you know, statistically. Well, but my father used to tell me one thing about statistics or numbers is you can make them say whatever you want.
Right.
Now, statistically, if you weight the number of people, GLBT respondents, looking at hybrids versus the normal population, and we might be indexed twice as many, but hybrids still have a very small section of the automotive marketplace. I think they have a time and they have a place. And you know, if you do a lot of city driving, they make a lot of sense. So someone in Chicago, et cetera. But, you know, also Chicago is cold. Hybrids don't perform as well in the cold weather as they do in normal weather.
Right.
So there's a lot of different factors about hybrids. And they also cost more.
I need to take you with me shopping. I need to fly you up here for the weekend and hire you.
I'll walk you through it.
I really do. And the other thing I'm interested in is there's not as much. You mentioned the Mini company, and definitely the Mini Cooper. Or the Mini Cooper convertible had a lot of, you mentioned a stigma earlier, but that it was definitely Minis and Jeeps. I don't know how many Jeep Wranglers I would see gay men in, or Mini Coopers that I saw gay men in. And it was kind of like you could divide them between like gay and butch, or gay and not butch, like bottom top. Like the tops were all driving the Wranglers.
Well, butch has nothing to do with bottom or top.
Okay, well, let me go back.
Two things. Mini just joined the gay-friendly list in January of this year.
Yes.
So they just changed their policies. So that they are going up in popularity on the most researched list. But actually, I'm going to say three things. The second thing is that this list is self-perpetuating. The most read article on the site. People want to know what other people are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. They come in and they go, oh, well, I don't want to just figure it out. I want to see what everybody else is looking at. So they go down the list. Three, everybody talks about, you know, the Jeep, the Mini, and I haven't written a review. I just got out of the Mini, and I loved it. It's an amazing little car, but it's not for everybody. The people that drive the Jeeps and the Minis have the stickers on the car are the most visible of our community and the ones that set the stereotypes, right?
Right.
Well, there are a lot of people driving that Toyota Camry rolls up that's clearly gay, and you wouldn't know it by looking at them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are the Jeeps, and trust me, there's nothing hotter than a shirtless guy with a baseball cap on backwards driving a Jeep Wrangler.
And we're going to quote you. That will actually be at the head of our website. So I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you your personal best bets in a few different categories. Is that okay?
Okay.
What's your favorite convertible?
Yes, so I have to be careful, but
I understand. But just today, we'll call you next week, and you'll give some other people some props.
Sure.
But if I had to say, and I don't care if your money isn't of interest, let's not worry about money.
Because I can get a little weird on this.
Yeah, because I want a Tesla 100% electric.
All right,
then,
well,
shit.
Here you go. We'll take you some different categories. Give me what you think is the best car under $20,000.
Wow. Best car under 20,000. You know, the Yaris is up there. I mean, it's popular. It's good. It's great gas mileage. You know, they're cute. They've got Toyota quality.
So the Yaris would be yours.
You know, it also depends. I mean, you know, do you want a convertible or a sedan? That's where it gets a little sticky. I would say no, I'm not going to go there. $120,000. Now I'm not going because I'll get in trouble. You know, if you want to look like for a large four-door sedan, you know, the Chevy Impala, you can get in under $20,000.
Wow.
Great engine. It's huge.
That's the pimp ride.
So what is your favorite, now don't worry about money, what is your favorite convertible out there on the market?
Oh, favorite convertible, no money, the Jaguar XK.
Okay.
Mm.
It's sex on wheels.
And your favorite SUV?
My favorite SUV, actually...
I guess a midsize. Let's do a midsize and then a full size.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of different categories. Being somebody who's looking at SUVs,
yeah, you're getting a little
like...
granular there. Let's go large. So my favorite large SUV are the new GM products. So like the Chevy Tahoe, the GMC Yukon.
Okay.
Oh my God, they're so big.
Yeah,
they're so big.
Those are those cowboys driving those down in Nash, Vegas. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, some of those things get up 20 miles per gallon on the highway.
Yeah,
they're so big.
They have some great technology. Midsize SUV. Let's say I actually really like the Infiniti. That's a midsize. The Infiniti FX.
Okay.
It's a beautiful car. Not everyone has one, and it's sexy and it's hauls butt.
Is there a car that was not on your top 10 list that you would like to just tell people about that you think in the next quarter is going to pique people's interest?
Wow.
Because you got a lot of 2008s coming out here in the next...
Yeah, there are a lot of 2008s.
I mean, I just drove the Toyota Highlander. I'm impressed with the interior, but they've blown the thing up so much, I'm not that excited about it. But
yeah,
they're all getting
so
big.
I just drove the Highlander as well. I mean, it's a great car, but it's, you know, it's big.
Huge.
I think, you know, sports car, Audi TT and Audi A5, those are two hot cars that are coming down the pike. Mini just announced something called the Mini Clubman Traveler.
Ooh.
And it's a little bit longer Mini with kind of like a mini wagon.
Huh. A mini wagon? Cool. Oh, how cute.
Yeah, so it's coming out early next year. I haven't driven it yet, but they just announced that it's definitely going on sale.
Sounds very lesbian.
Like it is cool as hell. It's
It doesn't. Minis always feel so thin when you're pulled up next to somebody. I hope this one doesn't feel that way.
I have a friend who has one. It's very cute.
They're cute, but when you're inside of them, you're like, oh my God, I'm inches away from this car and I'm terrified.
you know what's coming, and I think is going to be really interesting, speaking of very small cars, is the smart car.
Yay. Yay. I will get one of those.
I've not gotten in it yet in the U.S. one. I've seen them driving around Europe, and the smart convertible is going to be just a really cool city car. Tiny, great gas mileage, inexpensive. I think that's going to be, you know, it's designed to be a cult car because it clearly doesn't appeal to everybody. But
Peter will buy one, call him and he can be your gay reviewer on the go.
We'll talk on my iPhone while I'm going down Lakeshore Drive in that car. It'll be fabulous.
Absolutely, with the top down, right?
Of course.
He'll figure out how to hitch his bicycle on the back and throw a few queers in the back, too.
Sure.
It'll be great.
Oh, absolutely.
There's not really a back, Amy.
There's not really a back. Well, they'll just be hanging on. They'll just be hanging on to your bumper.
Get some people being dragged along. Let me in. I want to drive it.
Joe, you have given us so much information, and I hope that we can talk to you again as new cars
continue to come out. I love to talk about cars.
It sounds like you are, and I may have you on speed dial, or I may just buy you a little American Airlines plane ticket up to come up and go car shopping with me.
Hey, let's do it and do a little video segment on it.
I'm game for that. He said it here on the podcast, and we won't edit that out. So Peter will carry the video camera, and we're celebutants of a type, so you know you could get some mileage out of that.
I think we could make it work.
I think we could.
I'd feature it on GameWheels.com, no problem.
And see, what will probably happen is we'll do all that research, and you don't know me very well, but I'll be like, I don't want to get rid of my 11-year-old Toyota 4Runner.
What is your 11-year-old car?
It's a Toyota 4Runner. And I've had it for 11 years.
That's a great car.
And I love it. And I just don't want to not love the next car I get. So
it's so big and Amy is so tiny.
I am. I'm trying to be environmentally friendly, partially, and have better gas mileage.
The new Tribeca?
I have not.
Go to the homepage of GayWheels.com. We have a review on it.
Yep.
They have a new front end because the old one was a little funky looking, but it's a really nice product.
Well, I'm going to be on your site tonight, and I hope that other people will be as well. I'm going to check out that Infiniti, and hell, I might get me
some... And the new Touareg, actually. Volkswagen just came out with a new Touareg as well. So
yeah, I should look at Volkswagen.
Needy.
This is why you should come. We could do a great video cast, queer cast. That would be fabulous.
I think it would be awesome. We could record it, videotape it. We could have fun.
What a good time.
For an excuse to come to Chicago.
Hey. Reality programming at its finest, right here on the Windy City Queer Cast.
Hey, everybody, check out GayWheels.com. Of course, these quarterly reports come out, but after 2 years, they are the resource for all things GLBT and all things cars. So check out their site. I'll be on it tonight and see who is serving the community and who, well, if they're not there, they're not. So that's what you need to know. And Joe, we really appreciate you being on and we will definitely talk with you again.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. And keep driving.
Have a great night.
All right.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.